Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of the VGF cast with Ryan and Taylor and Chris. I'm Ryan.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Chris.
Chris is being a weirdo.
That's always true.
If you want to see more of that, the Just Hello on YouTube. Shall we start with a moment's grievance?
Oh, yes, we should.
I love a moment's grievance. It's my favorite part of this thing.
It's because it's the time we just get to sit there and whine about something.
Yeah, unfortunately, that means that the rest of the podcast is all downhill from there. So you want to start, Taylor?
Okay. Mine has absolutely no video game content.
That's fine.
Okay.
We encourage that.
Well, last time it just saved my life, by the way. Now knowing how to snap to all sorts of corners. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Okay. Moment's grievance. Been going to the gym lately. I go swim a couple times a week.
I agree with you about that too.
What? No. See, that's awful, but like somewhat necessary.
Do you even lift?
Huh? Do I even lift? No, of course not. I just swim, and so I get a weird shaped body. Here's my grievance. Why must old men show their wings to everybody?
Yes!
Why? Yes. I don't understand. So, okay, at our rec center, it's awesome. They've got like this little swimsuit drying thing. And I get like, you change, you towel off, you whatever you do. So I'm walking in behind this older guy. And before we are even into the like locker room, he strips off his swimsuit, throws it in the dryer, and he's just like walking around like he goes to the bathroom. And unfortunately, he's standing like right next to me. There's like 1,000 lockers in this place and nobody's there, but he's chosen the one right next to me. And he's just standing there air drying. I understand confidence. I understand everything, whatever. Why? Like, old man Wang.
Old guys just don't even care, man.
I don't get it. I don't ever see myself getting to that point. I'm not particularly private, but I also don't feel the need to walk around a public place in the nude. The best part is he had a t-shirt on. He just stripped off his bottoms. So it's just his cheeks and Wang. And I'm thinking, why? Why? Anyway, that's my grievance.
Little show for Taylor.
Gosh.
All right, Chris, moment's grievance, hit us.
Well, Siege again. Yeah, moment's grievance is just them, of course, did the same thing as I talked about this last time, how they buffed Sledge, which I was totally fine with, which was good, but I was so confused why they buffed Sledge and not buffed somebody else that needed a buff that people have been asking for. And then they do it again. They put out this 2.3 just balance changes, and they're talking about how awesome it's going to be. They're going to balance operators, and people are super excited. And they're like, top comments are like, yay, Tachanka and IQ and Capcom are going to be useful again. And then they come out like a day later with a list of changes, and they're doing Buck and they're doing Frost. Frost, people did want the Super 90 changed. Buck, nobody even complained about, nobody said anything about. But they decided to change Buck, which I'm fine with. I like the balance change. I think that was needed, but I don't understand why they're doing these operators that have been out for like a month instead of doing the operators that have been there since the beginning of the game and are still useless, and people talk about them all the time. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, they're really good at taking feedback, but then there's a lot of stuff that like everybody's asking about and they're not saying anything about it.
They're not even acknowledging.
I feel like it's almost like a flash sale. They're just getting done what's easy so that they can keep showing that they're doing stuff. But some of the other things that everybody's talked about, they've just kind of avoided.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about that later anyway. So
yeah.
Good moments, grievance. All right. Here's mine. So audio logs in games. I really hate when you come up to, you know, a collectible audio log and you open it up and it starts playing the audio and you can't leave the menu without stopping the audio. Like, so this happened in BioShock, and it happened. Wait, no. BioShock is the example of doing it right, where you pick it up, it just keeps playing the audio while you're like running around exploring. So like, it doesn't just stop you. Whereas I just played Rise of the Tomb Raider. Every time you pick up an audio log, you just have to like sit there and stare at the menu, and you can read it faster than the voice actor can say it. So it's like, do I want to sit here and enjoy the cool voice acting, or do I just want to read it and then move on because I don't want to sit here staring at a menu?
Yeah.
So I hate that. If you're going to put audio logs in your games, make them
continue while you can continue on with the
continuous
game.
Continuous while you're playing. Yep.
Shout out to The Hobbit. Go ahead.
Right. It's a really old game, and I'm pretty sure they did that correctly.
Which one?
Hobbit.
The Hobbit? Yeah, the old Xbox PS2 game?
Yeah, yeah. I remember, because I remember we could like never
shining
get that game.
Example of great game development.
That game was like so scratched up, and so whenever we got it started, I'd play for like a little long, like a while, because you could never get it started again.
That actually was a pretty decent Zelda clone.
I remember like not being able to like, I couldn't read that well like at that time, and the person was faster than me. I was like, well, I may as well just go do stuff while he's reading. And so I remember they still did that correctly.
What about Borderlands? I can't remember which way Borderlands is. I think you can listen as they...
Yeah, Borderlands, well, does it even have audio logs, or is it just people talking to you over the radio all the time?
No, there's audio logs, because as you're randomly doing some things, like you'll find the dead miners or vault hunters.
Yeah, I definitely remember listening to people talk in Borderlands while I was playing.
Yeah, I think so. Anyways, yes.
Especially, yeah, annoying. Just games like that where there's a lot to explore, and like Rise of the Tomb Raider, there's tons of collectibles and stuff. So it's like, I'm just looking around for stuff on the map. Just let me walk around.
Mass Effect, thank you. We can talk about that later when we talk about Mass Effect. But it's the same thing. Like, the codex is full of freaking cool information, but I can't be doing anything while I'm listening to it.
Yeah. I wonder if there's just like a YouTube channel where you could just pull up the codex.
Just like a playlist just on loop.
Yeah, Mass Effect, all codex entries. I bet there is.
There's gotta be.
I guarantee it. Anyway, so our docket for the day, we're going to talk about Siege, of course.
Shocker.
That's why you're here, probably. We're going to talk about the upcoming patch. We're going to talk about Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I just finished playing. You can see my playthrough of that on the channel. And we're going to talk about some Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 1, specifically.
I'm so excited to talk about it so that I can move on to the second one. I've been dying.
I know. I've been like holding Taylor by the reins to keep him from moving on to Mass Effect 2 before we talk about it.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. Just wait till you play Mass Effect 2. So patch 2.3 got announced. Well, parts of patch 2.3.
Half of it.
So basically, this is for Siege. So, they announced ahead of time the balance changes they're making for the operators. This is what Chris was talking about. And I'm really not super happy with most of these, to be honest. So the first one is they've nerfed Frost Shotgun, which Chris talked about. So the falloff damage is going to start earlier, meaning that the range is not as good.
Which, let's get real, that definitely needed to happen.
It did.
It was a little overpowered.
It did, but it's also
a little
really
overpowered. No, it was super fun. It was nice to have something... a shotgun that felt different from all the other shotguns.
Yeah, I think a better change would have been to make hers a little, because hers was very far range, but I think they just needed to make the other ones a lot better to be on par with her shotgun.
I don't know if I agree with that, because I like that there's a pro con to using a shotgun, and I think if you made it a little bit better, if every shotgun had the same range as Frost's, I think you'd see way more shotguns.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would agree, except for the fact that Siege maps are so small.
Mm-hmm.
If in most other games, I really like it when the shotgun has a little bit more range, like in Battlefield.
Yeah.
One thing I think they could do for shotguns is give you a little bit more ammo. Because like, if you use it to try to blast a hole in a wall, that can take like half your ammo, you know?
Especially if you're like rocking a Tachanka trying to open up a hole that somebody can walk through.
Right.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, so, but that's a good change. It's sad, but it's also really good.
I think necessary.
Yeah. And she's a great operator anyway, even without her shotgun. Like,
yeah, her traps are amazing. I mean, if you're going by the IQ standard where she's worthless except for her guns, like, Frost has amazing guns and one of the best abilities, in my opinion, in the game.
Yeah, I think Frost is a solid... argument for best defender at this point.
Absolutely.
So next, Buck Skeleton Key, which is his special. Basically, they've made it so that it will destroy the environment much, much more effectively.
Which I'm so excited for. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so like one thing they said was that like they've noticed that people are using it more as a weapon than as a tool, and that's because it's not really effective as a tool. Like, it's super hard to actually make a hole, But with this new one, they have some gifts with it, and it shows just like he just runs up to a wall, just blasts it once, and then just hurtles right through. Like there's nothing even there, which is pretty awesome. It's going to be way cool.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's that, if that did anything to the damage of it too.
I don't think so. I think they probably just affected the way it affects the environment specifically. But I was using it last night actually as a weapon, and it was really not very good unless you're really close.
Yeah. I just like turning corners with Buck.
It's fun.
Plane. I shouldn't say I hate plane. Plane is one of my least favorite though. But what's nice using Buck, it's like it is meant for Buck because everything is a tight corner, so he can have both that DMR or an assault rifle plus a shotgun and then a pistol. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Buck's great on plane. I like him.
Yeah.
I don't see Chris, you don't use him very often though, do you? I don't see you using him.
I actually used him a lot at the beginning to rush.
I hate rushing. Keeping that in mind, I hate that it doesn't take down a door in one shot, and I'm hoping that changes. Like a barricade?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a way to do it in two, but you have to like hit it perfectly.
Yeah.
Are you talking about with Buck still?
Yeah.
Yeah, too easy to mess up.
Yeah, so the new one is looks like it will be one.
That'll be sweet.
Not to take it down entirely, but to at least to be able to get through it.
Well, maybe not a wall, but a barricade. Oh, where you could vault through.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. That'd be nice.
My only concern about this, like, I'm wondering, is this going to make Sledge obsolete?
How many rounds does Buck get? I don't remember.
Not a whole bunch. There's like five in the clip, and then
17, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you get a couple reloads.
No, wait. This one I'm looking at. It looks like 5 plus 17.
Freak, that's a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 22.
So they changed it. Why would you ever use Sledge when
they added five more?
You can shoot immediately toggle because Buck's toggle from skeleton key to regular is so fast. It's basically instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just cut a hole for your whole team just like that and be ready to shoot. And even if you don't want to switch into your assault rifle or to the DMR, you can just shoot the skeleton key at anybody near you.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Sledge, you get bigger holes, but other than that, I can't think of a reason why you would take Sledge over Buck with this change.
I guess he's carrying frags.
Frags,
and
yeah.
The pocket
right,
sniper.
But, and like specifically for the gadget, I mean.
For the gadget. No, I can't see.
I guess Castle. Can Buck take down Castles with this?
No.
LTM? Oh, that's a good point. Castle would be a severe deterrent.
Yeah. Also, there's the epicness of getting a sledgehammer kill.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Chris, you still counting sledgehammer kills?
Not anymore.
They're too easy now.
What?
I kind of stopped going for them.
Oh.
I just kind of stopped playing Sledge.
Wait, are you playing the objective? Chris, that's like against your mantra, isn't it?
I think I've always put the objective.
Okay. Kinda.
I think I've been really good about always playing the objective in Siege.
I will give you are probably 10 times better than in Battlefield, but I would not say that you are the most object-oriented player that we have on our team. You're the best player on our team.
I'd say it's 50-50 between a pretty easy kill guaranteeing or trumping the objective. If it's between securing the objective or running out and getting a pretty easy kill against a dude that you're pretty sure you're going to get, it's the kill every time.
I think I have to disagree.
We got video evidence. So
I'm pretty good with
it. Somebody start watching this and let us know.
Yeah, go watch my streams in the past and see what happens when I get to
or objective. Future streams. Just start analyzing and let us know as we go. All right, so the last thing they did, there's only three things on here. The last thing is the SMG-11, which is the machine pistol.
I'm so sad.
They've increased the recoil. And they've also made it more random recoil.
That's not something they needed to do. They needed to take off the ACOG.
I agree with that.
I agree. Yeah. Remove the ACOG. That would make people use it the way it's intended.
Which I'm so confused why they did it that way, because that's what the community said from the beginning, which is the easiest change. Just a flick of a button. Remove ACOG.
I think even just don't even allow sights on it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why they allowed sights on it in the first place. No other pistol allows it. Okay. Yeah,
just make it no sights.
oh, so this is the fastest rate of fire and is pretty dang stable through its whole clip. Let's throw an ACOG on there. That'll make for an enjoyable game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I freaking love it right now. Oh. But it shouldn't be that way.
Every single one of my SAS operators has an SMG-11 with an ACOG on it.
For sure.
Well, why would you not do that? Ah, carry a shotgun and that. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I can't even tell you how many window snipes I've gotten with that thing.
I really hope to make lag compensation changes so that other sites will be more viable.
Mm. I just think I don't see other sites gaining dominance that the ACOG has because of the reliance on headshots.
Right. That's another thing too, like that I've been bringing up lately is like, I really love the one shot headshot game, but I don't think it's properly balanced with how much damage it can take to the body, especially with all the hit registration errors that the game has.
Especially Rook.
Right.
Like you can put a clip and a half into Rook. It's like playing Halo. And then just randomly you hit somebody in the face. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, that's pretty much our Siege Minute. Anything else we want to say about Siege before we move on?
So good.
Actually, no, I'm lying. We have more to talk about Siege. Okay, so because patch 2.3 is about balances, or at least this part is about balances, and like Chris said, they haven't balanced any of the people that people actually want balanced. Let's talk about some of those guys. So IQ, Kapkin, and Tachanka. They're the ones that need fixing, right? So we talked a little bit about Tachanka last time with Chris's top three. But like aside from just like fixing placement of his gun and making that more viable, like how else would you balance Tachanka?
That's one of those things that I feel like would not be that difficult of a change. You could just get it over with real quick. Like, I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I'm sure they just did it like a radius. If there's this much radius, then he can place it. If there's not, then he can't place it. Let's just change that number. And then see what that does to him. Like that would make him way more viable. And you see how he goes from there. If he still needs changes, and do more changes.
Well, I think the problem with that is the radius depends on it's defined by how big the gun is plus his body standing on the gun. So like,
yeah,
that's what defines the size of the radius. So I don't think it's that easy to fix. But like, I'd even be down if like they let you put it in a corner, but then like you just can't turn it as far.
Yeah, that you come up against the wall or something, or it's like your back is scraping along the other corner. That makes for I'm sure that's not the easiest fix in the world.
But yeah, I really feel like his fix is not easy, and that's why it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah,
I just you become such a so he's super heavy. Like trying to reinforce anything with him during the preparation phase is just a joke, because it's like you've got people getting upstairs doing the trap doors before you can even make it to like a wall to reinforce.
He's so slow,
but you don't feel any of that armor when you're on your gun, because the only thing they can see is your face. I mean, you're wearing like a Kevlar helmet, it looks like, but still it's that one shot headshot, and I like it, but man, even if you give him, I don't know, because I can't see you giving him headshot and vulnerability. That would probably put balance out of whack, but
maybe a DBNO?
Yeah, even a DBNO. He's just so, what's the word?
Sitting duck.
He's sitting duck. That's probably the best way. He's just so vulnerable.
Right. What about if they did, like, I've seen people say this, if they did, like, the almost like a shield from any of the other operators, where it's just like on his turret, there's like a shield with like a slit that he looks through. And if the slit can be shot through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even make it so it clouds his vision so that it balances it. That's great. And you can still shoot him in the arms and the legs, but his heavy armor should at least give him time to put up a fight.
Right.
Or like, and get I don't off the gun. Like you can't even get off the gun. Like it takes forever to get off.
Yeah. Why does it take so long just to drop the gun and move?
Are you sitting on it? Like when it swivels, I can't remember the animation. Is he just walking around?
He's just standing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like leaning back, holding onto it.
Yeah. Turning. It doesn't seem like it
would be hard just to let go and fall backwards. I mean, honestly,
you just stand up and run away.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why that's a big animation. I get for getting onto it because they don't want you to just be able to hop on and insta-kill somebody.
Absolutely. But as it stands now, the only time you're getting Tachanka kills is if you surprise somebody. And so you just have to put it in random areas. It's not like it's a deterrent, I guess, unless you're AG. Master bedroom's totally clear, guys. Walks in there, gets blown away by a Tachanka.
That was funny.
That was good times.
But yeah, like I feel like the whole point of a turret like that is to be able to lock down a hallway or something, you know, and he's not able to do that.
Yeah, to force them to go a different way, to like hit the windows or something like that. I agree.
Even if they made it like where once you put it down, it's stuck, like he screws it in or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it certainly wouldn't work now because of how difficult it is to get it where you want it. But if they fix that and it's like, okay, you put it down and that you can't move it, like I'd be fine with that as long as it was more powerful.
Or even if it was just like a crazy long animation, like he's got to unbolt it.
Yeah.
Like the thing is, like right now you can't put it down during the preparation phase because drones are going to see you. And then you try to put it down during the action phase. And by the time you can finally find a spot to put it or put it down, they're already coming in, killing you.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about like its effect on shields and stuff? Because there's a lot of talk about that.
I would love to see that a shield can't shoot you while taking fire. Maybe they've got to brace the shield with two hands.
But yeah.
At the same time, that'd be such a big change from what a shield already does. I don't know that that's the best action either. I think if he was just more protected, then the shield and him would just sit there shooting at each other without anybody really. Because if you were insta-killed by Blitz and you could get his janky leg that keeps spitting out, and then he was shooting at your arms and legs, I feel like it would balance that fight a lot better than Blitz just waiting and then popping you in the face.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of having to like brace the shield, because I feel like the way you should have to take on Tachanka would be you put Montaigne in front or even Blitz or somebody, and you have Ashe behind trying to pick him off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel like a shield should be able to win that fight.
Yeah.
I know they've already buffed these, but I still feel like flashbangs aren't used very often. Like, I'll use them occasionally, but I can't remember, like, in the three ranked games we played this last weekend, I don't remember a single flash being thrown at me.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I said this before, but I think the reason for that is just that people don't want to give up a breach charge.
I think, like, that's probably true.
As good as a flashbang can be, like a breach charge can really make or break a match. Like if you find out like, oh crap, they're covering both the doors into the objective and I don't have any way to get in other than the doors, like that can ruin you, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Don't die is the moral of that story.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. If you have teammates with breach charges that aren't dying.
So we've talked about Tachanka. We talked about it last time. We talked about it ad nauseum in our little group. And I think there's some good things that you could do with Tachanka. Capkin is one that I don't even know what you could do without changing his ability altogether that would make him more worth it. I guess laser, bolt, change things like that. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, the biggest thing I see is like make the bolt smaller or disappear, or like make the laser like thinner, less
infrared
visible.
Laser, like garage doors.
Yeah.
My garage door can do that, but a gadget in the military can't do it without a line. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure that I want invisible lasers.
Remember how annoying that was when the glitch was out? Although,
yeah, but that was like
kills.
Yeah, that the thing is, though, with that, like, you weren't expecting to have to look for invisible lasers. Like, right. That shouldn't even have been there. Like,
that's a funny sentence.
Like,
you weren't looking for invisible lasers.
Like if he was like that permanently, like that was a change to Capcan, then it's like, okay, I have to be careful. They have Capcan on their team. I have to, like, there's going to be invisible wires.
I think if they did invisible lasers, I think if they took him down to only two traps, I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because three can be like on plane, for example, three can be a lot when like there's only one hallway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
especially with as many ways that you can get around in plane quickly. Like if you're worrying about taking out a Capkin before running through a door, you can have guys coming at you from three different corners.
Right. And I mean, aside from his traps, like, do you guys feel like the rest of him is balanced, his weapons and his gadgets and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
He has nitro, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah. That's good.
I can't say that I've played him more than 5 or 6 rounds.
Yeah. His guns are good.
His guns are fine. Serviceable.
There's just so many other defensive options that I'd rather have that doesn't really make sense to me.
Although that's my thing is like, if I'm not getting kills with Capkin's traps, which you're usually not, then like, I don't have any reason to choose him over somebody else.
He's slow. He's super slow. His silent shotgun is quite fun, but other than that, it's just like, eh.
Does he have a silent shotgun or is that just Tachanka?
Is it just?
Yes. Yeah, the two.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought both of them did.
Cool.
You need to go put your silencer on there ASAP.
Yeah, I do. So that brings us to IQ, who also would benefit if Capkin's lasers became invisible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think she'll become a better player as well when that operator comes out with the cameras.
We don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
That's confirmed?
Yeah, it was in the audio files in the game.
That's not confirmed.
There's a lot.
Why else would there be audio files in the game that?
Because it could be a cut operator that they're not going to put it back in. You never know. I mean, it's probably true, but it's still
most
rumor.
Likely. But confirmed. Yeah, they haven't confirmed anything. I wouldn't.
No, they haven't said anything, but
I wouldn't hinge anything on that.
It like happened. There's when they put in the patch, people noticed that there were new audio files added to the game.
So it could have been from the audio files for people they thought were going to be in Black Ice, but it got cut for Buck because Buck is awesome.
So what else can we do for IQ? Like, cause her gadget is useless, completely garbage.
Yeah. Other than chasing down Pulse, but
yeah, Pulse, which is so situational
and not really worth it for most of the time.
I think it would be cool if she could see, which was a rumor that was going around. You could see people that were on cameras. I don't know who said you could do that, but you can't. Like if you could see defenders operating cameras.
They're pulling out their.
Again, I think that's so situational. Like most people don't use cameras when they're alive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the stupid teammates where you're dead and you're like trying to spectate them, but they're looking at the camera.
You do.
That happens.
Good times.
I think also what really bugs me is some operator gadgets affect team gadgets and some don't. Like Thatcher, you can throw a EMP and it doesn't affect drones, but IQ, you can see all the drones. You're shooting at these gadgets, so you just killed 2 of your team's drones. It's like, that's stupid.
Yeah, that seems a little backward.
Like, the EMP doesn't kill any drones or any team gadgets, but I can see all the team gadgets and I don't know what they are.
Electricity doesn't damage friendlies.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little backward.
Video game logic. Things that have to be there.
The thing with IQ is, like, she's so good as an operator apart from her gadget. Like, her weapons are super good. She's fast. She's a great rusher. But so she doesn't even need that much of a buff. But the thing is, just that gadget just might as well not exist because it's just such garbage.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. People talked about like making her being able to hack things, which I don't know if that's a great thing.
No,
I don't even know what I would do with her, but she needs something done with that gadget.
Or she'll just sit there still, unplayed.
So she can smoke with it really well. So if they gave her smokes and they made smoke better.
Although, smokes, you know what? I've started playing smokes with smoke grenades. They can be awesome. I just never play with them. I think it comes back to that breach charge issue where,
yep.
Oh, hey, if I've got a choice of something else, I don't often. It's Ash, right? Do I take the three smokes or the 2 breach charges?
Yeah, but and the thing is, they don't work how you expect them to work. You can't like throw a smoke and crawl through it. You have to like throw a smoke and use it as a wall. And go on the other side of the smoke instead of.
Yeah, going through the middle of the smoke is pretty dodgy, whether or not they're going to see you.
But dodgy and dangerous because they may see you, but you won't see anything.
Right. Yeah, you definitely want to use it as like a screen that you move past, not something you move through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I've seen Taylor using them and they can be effective in the right situation and with the right planning. But I don't know. IQ needs something.
Agreed.
And then somebody who needs a nerf, I think, is freaking Doc. I'm so sick of him being invincible when he's going down and then invincible again while he's reviving. Yeah. Like, if you time that just right, there's probably only like three or four frames where you're actually not
invincible. Especially because you're going down, you just start mashing your special action button. Like, a great example is Chris playing on Oregon, falls from the top rafter in the watchtower. He's going down and then like healing himself as he falls. But so by the time he hits the bottom of the watchtower floor, like he's up again and then just murders all the guys down there. Stupid. It was an awesome.
Did you highlight that?
I wasn't streaming.
Oh, that's too bad. Bummer. We have the kill cam somewhere on ours. We should highlight that.
Yeah, that was hilarious. But a great example of why that you shouldn't be able to do crap like that.
Yeah, and we have a couple videos of how Doc is totally invincible at a few times, and like even for headshots and everything. Like people are like, "Oh no, if you headshot him, he'll die," and that's not necessarily true for some parts of that animation.
No.
Yeah, I've been glass before and headshotted him, and he doesn't die.
Okay.
I do think though, I think he should be able to heal teammates with his thing instead of just reviving them when they're down. Because if you don't have Rook, then people don't go down. Like you have to have Rook to play Doc, and without Rook, people just don't go down often enough.
Yeah, even if it just gives it a small bump, like 20-25.
Yeah.
That'd be huge.
I think it should be the full 75.
Full 75, just dock him up to that?
Or maybe 50.
Maybe 50 if you're alive, and then it brings you up to 75 if you're down.
Yeah, so then it's a little bit of risk-reward.
Like, you've got to, if people are going, you've got to be on them. Like, as soon as they go down, you hit it.
But if you get healed by Doc and you go down, do you get to go down still, or are you dead?
I think you're usually dead. I don't think you go down again.
I mean, I'm not saying like right now. I'm saying if we choose that Doc can heal people.
Oh, I see. I think you still go down. You should still get your one down if you're wearing Rook plates.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
I can support that change. Because it's really dumb. Like me and Chris almost went to the extent of like me jumping off the rafter so he could heal me because I was at like 3 HP. But it's like, that shouldn't be like something that you're doing in a game.
You should never think, oh, I'm going to jump off the rafters in order to win.
Yeah. Seems a little backward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes. But I hope they do something about that because I'm so sick of pumping a whole clip into Doc and then getting wrecked.
Well, we'll see what they come out with the rest of 2.3.
Yeah. Anyway, so another game I've been playing is Rise of the Tomb Raider. I've been working on that since like whenever it came out, November or whatever. You guys haven't played it at all. So this is going to be just a really quick summary of what it was.
I have played absolutely zero Tomb Raiders.
This November?
What?
Came out this November?
Yeah. Just barely.
So I have an old version of Tomb Raider.
Oh, the 2013?
Yeah, I must.
Did you play that all the way through?
No.
Or did you play it a lot?
No. Played it for like 30 minutes. I got bored.
Okay. Yeah, so I played that first one, and like it got so much praise, and I really feel like it did not earn it. Like I just found it like astoundingly mediocre. Like
it's garbage. Like,
it's not garbage. I won't say it's garbage, but it's not great either. Like it's just a decent action game. Like it stars Lara Croft, and that's where a lot of it, I think, a lot of the love came from.
Shocker.
But like the story was nothing to be happy about. Like the shooting was fine, but it wasn't like revolutionary in any way. And then like everything that you loved about previous Tomb Raider wasn't there except for Lara Croft. Like there was no real exploration or like real puzzle solving or anything like that. So like I was fairly disappointed by that one, but I was still excited about the upcoming one because I liked a little bit of the groundwork that they did with that one. Mm-hmm. And so with Rise of the Tomb Raider, I really, really liked it because they have like challenge tombs now. So like, I don't remember how many there are, but there's a decent amount of like these big tombs that you go into, and it's totally optional. It's like totally side content. So like, if you just like that action experience, you can just do that. But like for me, like I love puzzle games, and that's what I've loved about Tomb Raider in the past. And so they'll have these big challenge tombs where you go in and you have to solve this like physics puzzle, you know, and it brought back what Tomb Raider is for me. So I thought that was awesome.
Cool.
On the flip side, they really, really went overboard on collectibles, like
Assassin's Creed collectible style.
It's worse. Like, and I like collectibles. Like Banjo-Kazooie is one of my favorite games.
Oh, gosh.
Like I like collectibles, but like, And like a lot of them are these audio logs, which are really cool, but it's also frustrating because then I'm just sitting still for 45 seconds every few minutes. And it's like, I feel like I'm wasting my time. But there's just like so much stuff to pick up. And it's just like, at some point you feel like all you're doing is walking to the next nav point and holding X or whatever. Like, it's just like, there has to be more to this game than holding X. Like, this is so dumb. Yeah, so there's that. So my final thoughts, Rise of the Tomb Raider, pretty good game. A little overboard on the collectibles, but it's a good return to what Tomb Raider was and a good action game. Oh, and it did this one thing that was so cool. So like, okay, you remember like when you played Ocarina of Time? Did you beat Ocarina of Time, Taylor? Is this one of your five games that you've beaten?
Me personally, no. But I have seen like the last stages of it. I never got as further than I think the Sand Temple on my own.
Okay, that's pretty far.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
I'm impressed with you. That's impressive for Taylor.
That stupid water temple.
Okay, so this isn't a lot of games, but particularly I remember Ocarina of Time. It super bugged me. Like, so you beat the game, you destroy Ganon or whatever, and then like, you know, it just brings you back or whatever, like spawns you in Hyrule Field or something. And you're like, oh cool, I'm gonna go like see what's up now. And so like you look at the sky and the sky's still dark with the mountain like all smoky, like as if it was still occupied by Ganon. And you're like, okay. So then like you run over and you go to the little town, whatever it's called, Hyrule Castle something.
Yeah. Isn't it just
and you go talk to people and they're like, oh, I can't believe Ganon's taken over the world. Oh, my life sucks. And you're just like, Didn't I just save everybody?
I thought I just killed him.
Yeah, like taking care of guys. Like, of course, Link doesn't say anything because Link. But like that always bugged me when it's like, so did I do anything? But so what's awesome, after Rise of the Tomb Raider, you come back to like, you know, because of course I came back to do my 100%.
Of course you did.
Right, so I'm on that right now. You can watch me if you want. But you come back and it starts with a cutscene of a conversation between you and one of the main characters. And she's like, oh, I'm so sad that this happened, but thank you so much for your help. And now we're going to start rebuilding and this and this and that. And like, it just like sums it all up. And it's like, oh, if you can keep helping us find these like secrets, then like we can really strengthen and get ready for the next time those guys come back and stuff like that. And so it's like, hey, you actually like acknowledged I did something, gave me a reason to continue like moving around in this world and like actually just like sort of validated everything I've done up to this point.
And validated Ryan's obsessive need to find everything.
Yes, because they need it, okay? They are rebuilding for when Trinity comes back.
Those guys might come back and they're bad.
And I am going to leave these people in cyber obscurity once I'm done with this game, so they need to be prepared, okay? I'm not going to be there next time.
I am not returning.
So that reminds me of The Martian. I don't know if you... I know Taylor has watched the movie and read the book. Ryan, have you watched that movie or read the book either?
I watched the movie.
So the book bugged me so much about the whole thing. Like, so good. But the very end, it just kind of ended. Like,
congrats, you're on Earth again. Yeah. They don't even make it to Earth. They're just, like, traveling to Earth and it ends.
Yeah, they were just traveling to Earth. He just got back in their spaceship and he's good. And it's like, well, what happens? The movie, like, went on and, like, explained, like, you know, he's a teacher at NASA. This and this person's doing that, these people are married, like, and it was just exciting to see
everybody wants the epilogue.
Yeah,
the epilogue's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
all right,
anyway, so that's it for Rise of the Tomb Raider. But Mass Effect, oh, Mass Effect,
game is so freaking good.
It's so good.
Chris, I have a free copy, just play the dumb game.
I know I'm busy.
You're not that busy. You're playing like 6 hours of Rocket League.
I got 6 hours of Rocket League a day to play.
Yeah. Well, Rocket League's the game you can play when pay attention to the other things.
Oh, but it's so good.
I won't be able to do that with Mass Effect.
Mass Effect is worth your attention.
100%. So that's what's amazing. When did it come out? You said 2006, 2007?
I think it's 07, but it could be 06.
I'm probably the only person in 2016 to play it for the first time.
And it was definitely one of the few.
It was totally worth my time.
So like, I've played it several times before, and like I went back with Taylor and I'm going through it again, And I just recently bought the DLC for Mass Effect 2 and 3. So that's part of why, like, I wanted to restart a new character and, like, go through and do all the DLCs. But, like, so I played it back with Taylor. And, man, going back to old games sometimes, it's just, it's like, I really loved this game and I appreciate what it does and stuff. But some stuff is just bad.
I have some, as much as I love this game, I do have some things where I was like, okay, this is stupid.
Inventory management.
Oh my gosh, it's the worst.
Kill me now. Especially, I did it on Xbox. You did it on a PC, so I imagine it's better.
It's got to be a little bit better. But so the basic annoyance with that is you only have 150 slots in your inventory. So you're running around like in your final battles and you're like, oh, it'd be really nice if I could get a nice shotgun. And you look over and you're like, oh, perfect, a weapons crate. I'll toddle on over there and get it. So you open it up. And lo and behold, there's a beautiful new shotgun there, Scimitar level 9 or whatever. And No, you can't pick it up because you're at 150. And so you need to reduce your inventory by 6. So your only option, you can't even like walk away from the crate, then go omnigel a bunch of things and then go back in there and grab it. You are forced to reduce that into nothingness. And it's painful.
That is the very worst part. You get stuck in that menu of, do you want to pick these up or reduce them to Omnigel? I want to leave them there and reduce the freaking level 1 scorpion pistol or whatever.
But I just not, because I didn't realize that this is going to be so punishing. Yeah. So annoying. So annoying.
Ugh, man. And then like on top of that, like, even if you're being good about your inventory management, the system to sell things is like super cumbersome too.
And it just takes a lot of time. Would you like to sell this? Yes. Okay. Confirmed. Are you sure you want to sell this? This may come in handy later. It's like, no, it's a level 1. It's not going to come in handy.
Yeah. Just let me freaking do a checkbox on all 80 of these items and sell them all at once.
Oh,
this is reminding me a lot of RuneScape.
Never played it, so I don't know.
It used to be in 2006 when I used to play it, and it was hard to do some stuff. And like 3 years later, I came back to it for a little bit and it was like, oh my gosh, they made a lot of changes. This game's awesome.
Yeah, freak. All right.
Mass Effect ain't had many changes since 2007, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's funny how like games do that. Like, not just do graphics get obviously way better, but every single like little thing that you do in a game gets better as you like move forward. Like, they had an awful way of doing it, and then
game design just improves, which is good.
Just like, it's a much better way to do that.
It's really annoying though when there's something that's been done the right way for 10 years and a game gets it wrong.
Like, come on.
For example, Rainbow Six, how won't they let you edit loadouts between games? Like, you have to back
what
out
in the world. And they still haven't added that.
Thank
like,
you.
Really? And freaking Halo, the new Halo is not having like really cool stats.
Yeah. Master Chief Collection doesn't even tell you the final score of the match when a game's over. Like, what? Come on.
Well, it is.
Are you serious? So stupid.
Let's get fair. It is Master Chief Collection. They probably meant to have it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. I am dying to know your big decisions.
Yeah. Let's run through these big decisions. So, did you go Renegade or Paragon?
Paragon, of course.
That's a good choice.
It's so annoying because even in video games, I have a hard time doing the dirtbag thing. Like, I just want to go through rampage and murder everyone, but I still like get this little twang of conscience where I'm like, fine, I'll do what's right.
Yeah, especially when they're like actual kind of characterized beings.
I had the same problem with Fable.
Speed jerk. Although Renegade Shep is also really, really cool. Like, you should probably go through and do some of this again because Renegade Shep is really cool.
I don't see myself playing one again. It was a great experience, but I don't know that I'll go back.
I don't know that I'll ever do one. The only reason I actually did one again was because I heard that some of the DLC in Mass Effect 2 can be different if you've romanced Liara.
Okay.
Which romancing Liara was like my personal canon playthrough, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So like I just wanted to like see that. But wait, you're man, you're feminine, or sorry,
man
Shep, right?
Yeah.
So I did Fem Shep my first time through, and Fem Shep's way cooler, let me tell you.
Really?
The voice actor is just way, way better. Fair. So anyway, okay, who'd you romance?
Ashley, on accident.
Ashley.
She pisses me off, and all of a sudden, like, I get to this wheel of options, and I'm like, ugh, I don't like any of these.
Did she die?
No, she survived.
Oh man, I don't think I've ever romanced Ashley and then had her die.
Ooh, that would have been interesting.
I wonder what that does.
Anyways,
I'll do it.
So Caden died for you.
Oh yeah, Caden was gone. I was so annoyed with him the whole game. Like,
I hate him.
The whole time I was like, gosh, I hope you're one of the characters I can kill off.
Like, you totally can. Yeah, I've always killed Caden in the past, so I decided to kill Ashley this time because I want to have Caden through the other two and see how it goes.
Gotcha.
But so, okay, you did Ashley. I kept Caden. As far as Renegade Paragon, I went like mostly Paragon, but like the way I'm playing this one is kind of just like, I'm just going to do what I feel like. So if you're like annoying me, I'm just going to be super Renegade to you.
F you.
Versus like in the past, I've always been like, oh, I got to be straight good or straight bad.
Right.
And then I romanced Liara, the Rachni Queen.
Saved her.
I saved her too.
I don't have any idea what that's going to do. The one decision in the game that I actually sat there and paused and thought, like, freak.
It is hard.
Do?
Yeah.
But I figured I was going to need some allies. Those Reapers look scary.
That's a good choice. Yeah, because, like, I wanted to kill her this time. And, like, after her speech and everything, like, she makes a great case. And I'm just like, man, I got to let you live. Like,
I gotta let it happen.
You're too good.
Okay.
As opposed to the Thorian, who's just, like, trying to...
Oh, yeah, I was... done with the Thorian. No problem.
You're done.
Yeah.
All right. Did you save Rex?
Of course I saved Rex.
That's something I made sure of.
Man, I keep Rex on every single, like, I switch out some of them, but it's always Rex. Me and Rex, man.
Rex is bae, dude.
Yeah, man. Oh.
So I've actually like researched what happens if you let Rex die. Mm-hmm. And basically his part in the next two games is just replaced by just some generic Krogan.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like, he's like, why would you not have Rex?
Right.
So definitely Rex. All right.
Kill him.
Did you save the council?
I did save the council very reluctantly.
Yeah, me too.
They were really annoying. And I thought, I don't know.
The way they treat you through the whole game, they just like totally disregard everything. And they like, don't take you seriously. And even at the end, they're like, they're freaking being wrecked by what's his face Sovereign, but they still don't take the Reaper threat seriously.
Right. Totally.
It's like, oh my gosh, guys. Yeah. I kept him alive too. Like I wanted to let him die, but I think I had done that on my previous one. So I wanted to keep him alive and see how that affects the balance of power. But I imagine it won't be that big of a difference.
Okay. Okay. Udina or Anderson?
I endorsed Anderson.
Oh, 100%.
100%. No.
Get out of here, Udina. You're the worst.
He's the worst.
And so you get a choice at the end who you want, what human you want to put on the council. It's like the guy who backstabbed you or the guy who went and punched Udina in the face. Punch in the face, please.
The freaking war hero who like actually believes you with the Reaper threat and everything. Like,
Yeah.
No question. That was another one too, where it's like, I kind of want to do Udina to see, but no, I don't. I don't care. Like he's enough like personified that I don't want to give him any kind of reward at all.
Yes. Yes. And like, nope. Yes.
Nope. Sorry, bruh.
Good times. I'm excited. So Mass Effect's great.
We're starting Mass Effect 2 probably this week. I'll be streaming it. Taylor, I don't think we'll.
Probably not. I may hop on if you want to watch double.
You could. So yeah, we're going through Mass Effect 2 now, and that's going to be super fun. So you can follow us at VG Fiasco on YouTube if you want to watch that stream. I think that's about it, guys.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So if you want to let us know what you think about anything we've talked about or things you want to hear us talk about, you can email us vgfiasco@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, VG Fiasco. You can comment on this post on the webpage, vgfiasco.com. Or you can comment on the YouTube video. So you got all kinds of options.
Come.
Whatever you want. Just talk to us, please. Talk to us. apart from that, yeah, we're VG Fiasco on YouTube. That's me and Taylor. And then Chris.
Just hello on YouTube.
Just hello, 3 O's.
Just hello with 3 O's. I said that so many people and they would always like when I try to add people in middle school for Xbox Live, they would do like just the word hello with three O's. I always get confused.
So it's not hello, it's literally just hello.
Isn't it the just hello?
On YouTube, yeah. You can search just hello and you'll find me. I'm that popular.
Oh, back from his Minecraft days.
Cool.
Well, that was fun, guys.
That was good fun, and it was a podcast. We're going to call it a podcast.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.